There's a petition circulating asking U.S. Representative Lee Zeldin to resign.
Words matter. The combination of inciting violence with his rhetoric, and then after all of that happened, going back into the chamber and objecting and trying to overturn the will of the people in a free and fair election that Biden decisively won because he didn't like the results. There's just a couple of bars you need to clear as an elected official, and one is participating in the peaceful transfer of power, and two is making sure that you're not inciting violence, and he failed on both of those.
Shoshana Hershowitz is the founder of Suffolk Progressives. She and 100 others rallied outside Zeldin's district office in Patchogue. They condemned Zeldin for inciting violence and voting against certifying the 2020 election after pro-Trump insurrectionists stormed the Capitol. Her petition has 2,000 signatures. Zeldin was Long Island's only elected representative to object to the election results. On Twitter, Zeldin called criticism a double standard and that Democrats are acting, quote, holier than thou, for not condemning violence in Seattle and Kenosha. This is C19, WSHU's daily news update from the Connecticut and New York region. Coming up, Cuomo kicks off his States of the State address. A petition circulates to disbar several lawmakers, and police unions offer a sorry, not sorry. I'm Charles Lane. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo gave what he said is the first of four State of the State speeches. Karen DeWitt reports that the first priority is the COVID-19 pandemic.
Cuomo gave his speech from the War Room in the state capitol, an ornate lobby with murals memorializing New York's military battles. He says the number one priority in 2021 is fighting and defeating a disease that has sickened over a million New Yorkers and killed over 39,000.
The War Room is fitting because we are at war. A war that began early last year when we were ambushed by the COVID virus, and a war that continues today.
Cuomo says he will also focus on turning around what he says is a short-term economic crisis caused by pandemic-related shutdowns and planning for an economic resurgence. The governor says he's also focusing on getting the limited supply of vaccines out faster. So far, the rollout has been uneven. Registration for New Yorkers over the age of 75, who are included in the next group eligible for the vaccine, began at 8 a.m. Monday. The governor says he's working with Cornell University and Northwell Health to form what he calls a new public health corps to help speed up vaccinations.
We will hire 1,000 health corps fellows who agree to serve for 1 year.
Cuomo blames the federal government for not getting enough vaccines to the state more quickly. Cuomo said he's been more hopeful that President-elect Joe Biden, once he's inaugurated, and the newly Democratic-led Congress will provide aid to help New York close its $15 billion deficit. The governor says if federal help doesn't come before the state budget is due in April, he'll have to take extraordinary and negative measures, including cutting school aid by 20% and making deep health cuts in the midst of a pandemic. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
At least 7,500 Yale and Harvard Law School alumni and others have signed a petition to disbar Senators Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz after pro-Trump insurrectionists stormed the U.S. Capitol. WSHU's Cassandra Basler reports that a group of Yale law students started their petition during winter break.
The petition says, quote, Hawley and Cruz directly incited the January 6th insurrection, repeating dangerous and unsubstantiated statements regarding the election, end quote. Chandani Jha is one of 10 Yale law students behind the petition. She says the fact that Hawley is a Yale alumnus motivated them to speak out, and she's encouraged that thousands of alumni agree.
Enough is enough. This is unacceptable. There are certain rules that we all took an oath to follow when we became attorneys, and everyone should be held to that standard. It doesn't matter if somebody is a senator or a member of the United States Congress. We do have ethical rules in this profession, and we have an obligation and a duty to say something.
Jha says she hopes the petition will inspire people to file formal complaints with offices of disciplinary counsel in D.C., Missouri, and Texas. In New York, the State Bar Association says it's considering expelling Trump attorney Rudy Giuliani after hundreds of complaints. Cassandra Basler, WSHU News.
Coming up, an apology from police unions falls flat, but first, these headlines and a message from C19's supporter.
Support for C19 comes from Hartford HealthCare. More COVID vaccine answers at hartfordhealthcare.org/vaccine or 833-621-0600.
The 7-day COVID-19 positivity rate in Connecticut increased to 7.1%. On Long Island, the 7-day positivity rate decreased to 9.6%. The rest of New York is down to 7.5%. There is a surge of COVID-19 cases in state-run facilities for adults with intellectual disabilities in Connecticut, which has affected at least 84 employees and 39 residents who live on campus. Stony Brook University Hospital made the state's deadline on Friday to administer the first batch of COVID-19 vaccines and began to give second doses to those vaccinated in December. New proposed legislation in New York would shift recycling costs from local governments to packaging producers. The legislation would force companies that produce non-recyclable materials to pay more to share the financial burden of recycling. Setauket Assemblyman Steve Engelbright sponsored the legislation. He says the bill would increase green jobs, lower the cost of recycling, and reduce toxic chemicals found in packaging. Housing advocates say Connecticut is expected to get more than $237 million for renters' assistance in the latest COVID-19 relief package. They say it will cover utility costs and help renters pay off money that's owed, and also secure legal representation for tenants. At least 66,000 households in Connecticut are at risk of eviction. Connecticut's eviction moratorium will expire on February 9th. The racial justice protests over the summer created what reformers and police unions describe as a us-versus-them divide. Now those two sides are being asked to sit down together. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo ordered all police departments to meet with community members and put together a plan to reform policing. In Suffolk County, those meetings started with an apology from the police union. But it didn't go very well. It all starts at a Back the Blue political rally in October. President of the Suffolk County Police Benevolent Association, Noel DiGirolamo, praised Republicans and railed against elected officials who passed a series of measures meant to reform policing.
And they made us the enemy. Well, guess what? They're the enemy now.
That word enemy unsettled many. In his speech, DiGirolamo referred to non-Republican elected officials. But many heard it as anyone who criticized the police was the enemy. All this came to a head at the second meeting of Suffolk's Police Reform Task Force when Deputy County Executive John Kamen confronted him about it.
And so he actually apologized at the task force meeting and said, you know, he appreciates where people are coming from and he'll give it more thought and try to be more circumspect in the future. And so that we thought was a very positive step.
Kamen said this to the Suffolk County African American Advisory Board. WSHU received a recording of the meeting. Multiple members of the board expressed concern that this apology was insufficient, at which point Deputy County Executive Vanessa Baird Streeter stepped in to explain the cultural divide.
So for people of color, when we're talking about if the police is saying, you know, you're our enemy, we're not necessarily, you know, on the same path and have the same relationship with police officers. So it's an automatic assumption that you're talking about me.
Baird Streeter goes on to put an upbeat spin on it, that this was a learning moment.
Before that, I'm not exactly sure that he understood the hurt that people felt with the words. But for him to get to the point to say, like, that was not my intention, and I am sorry if you felt that way, because that was never what I wanted to come across. But
some task force members felt similar. DiGirolamo's use of the word enemy was a big deal. They texted each other ahead of the meeting, and at the meeting, almost all of the Black and brown members expressed how they felt. After having been able to explain themselves, some said they felt better. Others did not. Several called the apology a non-apology. Sorry, not sorry. In an interview, DiGirolamo described his apology this way.
I make no apologies for what I said. What I apologize for is that if people took my words out of context and that they felt hurt by it because they didn't understand the context in which it was said.
Even though deputies to Suffolk County Executive Steve Ballone made assurances that the PBA would be more careful in its choice of words, PBA officials continued offending black and brown people. In one instance, the PBA board treasurer emphasized the race of two men who were being arrested. He said that they were black and that they must comply with the law, even though there was no racial aspect to the crime. He went on to refer to a black protest organizer who he says served time for manslaughter as a, quote, predator. This comment drew a sharp rebuke from the NAACP and Suffolk's deputy police commissioner, and privately, several others were insulted. The insinuation was that black people must, quote, comply with the law. Still, DiGirolamo defended the comment.
When people try to twist this and make it as if he's doing something that's offensive to them, I think that in itself is offensive.
This offense is also mirrored by those pushing for criminal justice reform. Serena Liguori is on the task force and executive director of New Hour, a nonprofit focused on helping incarcerated women.
So it's concerning, and it speaks to the deep correlation and connection between police unions and why we perpetrate violence in our communities against people of color.
Despite this divide, all of the task force members interviewed said it was important to continue having the PBA represented in potential police reforms, because without their buy-in, they say, nothing will change. For the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio or online at WSHU.org. C19 is supported by Hartford Healthcare. As always, you can send us your thoughts and story ideas to news at WSHU.org. I'm Charles Lane. We'll be back tomorrow.